Thank you. I appreciate Brother Mintz leading us in the hymns tonight. That's always, at least it is for me, when I have to start a song and do it a cappella fashion, I always wonder if I'm going to start it on the 14th floor or down in the basement. And usually I get it just the reverse. And the ones that should be low, I'm up there in the stratosphere. And the ones that are supposed to be high, I'm down there with folks that have got four doses of the flu and way down in the bass section. So, Brother Danny, thank you so very much for helping us with that. You say, well, why are we doing it in an a cappella fashion? Is it for effect? No, it is not for effect. It does affect us. But as I think about the upper room, I don't think they had a Yamaha or a Kiwi Grand or a Kauai Grand. I don't believe they had the organ. They had the instrument of the voice. And we're not trying to replicate it necessarily. But if the Lord saw fit to have them, before they went out, they sung a hymn, that it is an important part of worship. And it, in a way, it brings us to a conclusion of worship. And it draws our hearts into it in a different mode, in a different medium than just in recitation or in speaking. But it draws us, even as we have a song in our hearts, in the stillness of the night or as we go along our way. And so thank you for joining. And brother, thank you for leading us in that fashion. But I hope that it brought it to your heart and minds, your hearts and minds, of the goodness of the Lord as we've heard these in an a cappella fashion by way of song and by way of testimony. And let me just, I'll not do this probably again, but just so that we know, there is a scriptural mandate that the women not teach the men. And in this kind of a service, it's more of a testimony service of what the scripture, how the scripture has just challenged your heart. It's not by way of standing and usurping the authority, is the terms used for it, usurping the authority in the place that men are to teach, in the homes and in the assembly of believers. But I see nothing biblically that would prohibit ladies from saying, praise the Lord. And praising the Lord with the Word of God that is for all of us, I see no restrictions in the Word of God and every compliment to the Word of God. And so that fashion as well. Lastly, as we think about the offering tonight, never fear, we are still a Baptist church. And so we will have an offering. But what we're going to ask you to do tonight, rather than asking our fine gentlemen to receive the offering, is after the service, if you did come prepared to give an offering, we have offering plates on this stand here and this stand over here. And I appreciate Brother Mintz once again making that available for us and having it ready for those who wish to give an offering, not take an offering, but give an offering. And so we'll do that in just a little bit. I'll not invite you to do it because we'll not spend a long time on it tonight because basically I dealt with it this morning. But I'm going to turn in my Bible, as a matter of fact, I'm already there, to the second or the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. If you wish to turn there, you're more than welcome to. We'll be turning to Mark chapter 14 here momentarily. While you're turning, let me invite those, if we have, I'm not certain if we have any visitors among us tonight or not. I'm still learning and still getting to know everyone. Yes, we do have some visitors. I just remembered that. And so what we do is we have what we call close communion here. Open communion is practiced by some churches. Is they do not have any restriction on anyone as far as partaking of the fruit of the vine and the breaking of the bread. It's called open, so you're welcome to come in. There's no prohibition from a visitor coming in or whomever coming in and just passing the plate and receiving and taking. That would be open communion. Closed communion is somewhat the opposite, not completely, but closed communion would be this table is restricted for members only. If you've been saved, baptized, and have joined Calvary Baptist Church, then you would be welcome to receive and participate in the Lord's table. But we practice, at least I do, and I'm inviting you to join with me in it, and probably you have in the past, is what's called close communion. And that simply means this. If you are certainly members who are right with the Lord, or will be right with the Lord before we partake of the elements, that members are certainly welcome to do so. But we also invite those who are visiting among us. If you're a member of a like-mannered church, or if you're visiting here and considering becoming a part of this ministry, and you have been saved, you've been scripturally baptized by immersion, and as far as you know, at this moment in time, there is nothing between you and the Lord, then that means that you're a part of the body of Christ and a part of the local, part of the New Testament church. And then we would invite you as a local church, since you're with us tonight, to join with us in celebrating the Lord's table. So with that in mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says this. It's talking about the abuse. Now, you'll remember that 1 Corinthians was really a scathing rebuke against this church that had gotten mixed up in all kinds. I mean, they had divisions in the church. They had what was called love feasts, and there's nothing wrong with that. Today we would call it dinner on the grounds. In the first century, many times, it was called love feasts. It was agape feast. They would come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and they would break bread. That term is used even for fellowship. Okay, so they would enjoy that, but then it got out of hand, and they began just kind of mixing the two together. And so you have the prohibition. It says, can't you eat at home? The apostle said, and he wrote. And can you not drink at home? Can you not do those things at home? And there were some other things that were just out of the scriptural bounds for this sacred taking of the elements tonight. And so again, I'm not going to spend much time on that, but you'll see in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup, this cup of the Lord, unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And if I put a parenthetical thought there, and that would deal with children as well. Moms and dads, you know your children. And if you allow your children to partake, then we're going to assume that you've done that very exercise with them. They've been saved, scripturally baptized. And I would advise if a child has not yet been scripturally baptized, I would ask them to withhold as well. Not every church does that. I just think it's wise. For those children to realize that when they take this, they are in full obedience to the Word of God. And you don't certainly want to baptize them until they're ready. And so you can explain to them. So that's up to the parents, and I'll not examine that further. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And here's the reason. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly, and sickly among you, but weak is approaching being sickly, and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. And now to the delight of the evening. If you want to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, we're going to go to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And I will move down to the table. And I'm going to begin the reading in verse number 22. Oh, wait, just a moment. I can still hear some pages turning. I love that sound. Verse 22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. I'm going to ask our gentlemen if they will come and if they will assist us in the distribution of the unleavened bread. So gentlemen, if you'll come, please. The Bible says that he blessed it. Brother Ron, would you ask God's blessing on this memory of our brother, of our Savior's sacrifice?
Lord God, we come to you this evening thankful of your goodness to us and the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the body that was broken on the cross and the blood that was shed there. And then, Lord, as we remember that this evening of your love and your compassion toward us, we want to thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your loving us and for the salvation. We pray, God, you'd bless now and help us to understand this ordinance of what's being taken place here. And Lord, may we truly worship you and honor your sacrifice during this time. And we'll thank you in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The scripture records, he broke it, he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Hallelujah for the body of our wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Was given for us. The scriptures continue and says, "And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them." I'll invite our gentlemen if they will come and assist us in the distribution of the fruit of the vine, which is symbolic by color of the blood of Christ. I'll ask Brother Corallo if he would word our prayer for the Lord's blessing upon our partaking of this, please, sir.
Heavenly Father, we do come to you with self-examination preceding our approach, Lord.
Yes.
Consider this a very holy thing in remembrance. And Lord, as I think about shedding of innocent blood, it's such a heinous crime, but yet it was your blood that was innocent and thus paid the penalty of sin. And accepted by the Father. Lord, thank you for the shedding of that blood. It was a willing sacrifice. It was not taken or stolen, but laid down willingly, Lord. And we thank you for that life that was lived. Thankful for the blood that was shed. And I ask your blessing upon the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Returning to the scriptures, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Scriptures continue by advising, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, we're not going to go out into the Mount of Olives tonight, but as we bring this celebration, not like a party, not like a homecoming, so to speak, with relatives coming in and greeting one another, and not even, well, those kinds of celebrations. But the celebration, the heralding, the glorifying, the praising of the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Of praising the Heavenly Father, Amen. Who with the Son and the Spirit designed salvation's plan in eternity past. And for the sweet Holy Spirit who drew us to the Savior. Let's do this if it's all right. Why don't we sing maybe the first and last stanza, and if you don't know it, allow those who are singing it to just minister to your heart by message. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. How about if I start it from up here, and I think most know that, and Brother Danny, I think, is back in the back, so he'll do it from the back and I'll do it from the front, all right? And let's sing it together. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The final stanza, when he comes, our glorious King. When we come down to that hallelujah, what a Savior, sing it with everything you have, and then almost in calm retrospect, hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's sing it together. When he comes, our glorious King, all summoned home to bring, then anew his song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And all God's people said,
Amen.
I trust that which has now become physically a part of you, the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine, as it has become a part of me as well, that as we leave here tonight, more so than the morsel of bread and the vine, that we'll allow this meeting tonight, afresh and anew, why it's to be done as oft as we care to or desire to, and think of it, that it may abide with us, so that when we're tempted to err from the truth, as James would put it, then we go, no, wait a minute. Resident within my heart is the very Son of God, the Holy Spirit who lives in my heart, and the Holy Father, our Heavenly Father, would have me to walk with Him in victory and in truth as I go throughout this week. I trust that you will. Will you join me in standing? We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And I trust the service tonight has been that which has drawn you more closely to the Lord, to the Word of God, and because of partaking of this tonight, and I trust that you are, and that I am right with the Lord, then you have good reason to fellowship with the brethren. Now, Let it be written in the journals of eternal record that we are dismissing 2 minutes early, all right? So if you leave quickly, we'll just assume you're mad, all right? And no, we won't either. But we're glad that you're here and thanking the Lord for it. Would you permit me, please, to dismiss us in a word of prayer? It is with joy, Father, that I word our prayer tonight, following this wonderful remembrance, time of remembrance, occasion of remembrance, celebration by way of remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross for us. But Father, He's not a slain Savior who's in a tomb somewhere. He's a risen Savior. And for that we rejoice and long to see Him face to face. But until then, Father, we can express and extend our love for Him by serving Him faithfully, by fellowshipping with those who love Him, by forgiving others and being forgiven by others, so that our fellowship is of one mind and one heart, so that we can strive together for the faith of the gospel with no hindrances, the past being the past, what needed to be forgiven has been forgiven. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. And now, Father, we would ask Thy blessing as we're dismissed, and we'll give You the glory for all that's been accomplished this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. The offering plates are up here. You're dismissed.